knew what it was like to lose your mother. He looked to Press and asked,
So that's it? Travelers don't have families? They don't have lives? They only bounce around the universe looking for trouble?
Press smiled and said, You trust me, Bobby, don't you?
I think so, said Bobby skeptically.
But I'm losing faith fast. Don't, said Press quickly. Believe me when I tell you that as time goes on, this will make sense to you, and I'll make you a promise. You will see your family again. You'll see your mom and your dad and your sister Shannon, too.
What about Marley?
Bobby asked. You'll run with your dog again, too, said Press. But not today.
When?
Asked Bobby. Press gave this thought. He may have had all the answers, but this one eluded him. That's one I can't answer, he said. Bobby looked to Lore, who gave him a slight nod of encouragement, then back to the empty lot. He took a long time to collect his thoughts. Finally, he said,
You asked me how I felt before. You want to know how I feel right now?
How? Asked Press.
I feel like I just found out there's no Santa Claus,
he answered.
It's not a good feeling.
It'll get better, said Press.
So what happens now?
Asked Bobby. Now you come with us, answered Press. Bobby walked over to Mark and Courtney. He looked at his two friends, and the memories of his life in Stony Brook came flooding back. He wanted nothing more than to turn around and see his house standing there, so he could go back to the way things were before. But that was not meant to be.
I guess I've got to go, said Bobby.
We'll always be here for you,
said Courtney as tears began to well in her eyes. Bobby leaned forward and grabbed the two of them in a hug. He tried hard not to break out in tears. He didn't want to do that, not in front of Lore. But he didn't want to let go of his friends either, because as soon as he did, it would be the final act of letting go of his life here on Earth. Second Earth.
Time to go, Bobby,
prodded Press gently. Bobby pulled back from his two best friends and looked them in the eye. Mark wiped away a tear, smiled, and said,
Hey, don't forget to write.
The three of them laughed at this. That went without saying.
Are you sure?
Asked Bobby.
Will you keep my journals? I'd be pissed if you sent them to anyone else,
Mark replied, as he held up his hand to show Bobby the ring that Osa had given him. Bobby gave a smile of thanks and fought back tears to say,
See you guys soon. Goodbye, Bobby,
said Courtney.
Good luck.
Bobby nodded, then turned and headed toward the car. He stopped in front of Lore and looked at the warrior girl who was destined to be his partner.
I know you do not want to hear this, Pendragon,
she said.
But this is the way it was meant to be.
Yeah. We'll see,
said Bobby with skepticism. He gave one last look to the empty lot where his house used to be, then slid into the back of the Porsche. Lore looked at Mark and Courtney. Courtney stood up a little straighter. Lore chuckled, then she, too, got into the car.
Keep his journal safe, Press said to Mark and Courtney. He may need them again someday.
Mark and Courtney nodded a promise. Press then jogged around the car and hopped behind the wheel. With a roar of the engine, the little sports car blasted away from the curb and flew down the street, headed for somewhere. Mark and Courtney watched it until it was out of sight and the sound died away. They stood there for a long time after, not sure of what to do next. Finally, Mark said,
There's no Santa Claus?
Both of them laughed. It felt good. but it hid their true feelings.
Courtney said,
"You'll call me as soon as the next one comes in," promised Mark.
Then the two of them walked away from the empty lot, split up, and headed to their homes. Mark went right to his bedroom and waited for another journal from Bobby. The others had come pretty regularly, and he expected his ring to start moving with the telltale quiver any second. But it didn't. He stayed awake most of the night, staring at the ring, willing it to move. But it didn't. Courtney called him twice a day to see if Bobby had written, but kept getting the same answer.
Nothing yet.
Whenever she saw Mark in school, she would make eye contact, as if to ask, anything? But Mark would always answer with a shrug and a shake of his head. Days passed. The days turned into weeks, the weeks into months, with nothing from Bobby. Mark and Courtney realized that they couldn't live their lives around waiting for his next message, so they drifted apart. Besides their friendship with Bobby, they really had nothing in common. Courtney went back to playing volleyball and led the Stony Brook team to the county finals. The men's team, of course. Mark went back to being Mark. He still ate too many carrots and spent most of his time huddled over books in the library. There was one big change in his life, though. Andy Mitchell didn't bother him anymore. Courtney didn't know it, but she became Mark's guardian angel, at least when it came to Andy Mitchell. The investigation to find the Pendragons continued, but they found nothing. Sergeant D'Angelo and Captain Hirsch would sometimes call Mark or Courtney to ask if they had heard anything, but the answer was always the same. No. Even if they wanted to tell the truth, neither of them could begin to figure out what to say. Mark and Courtney never forgot about Bobby. He popped into their thoughts at least once a day. But the more time that passed without a word, the less he stayed on their minds. It made sense. They had to get on with their own lives. The times when they thought of Bobby were usually triggered by seeing things that reminded them of their friend. Mark would play Nintendo football and remember the times that Bobby kicked his butt at the very same game. Courtney would hear a comedian say something goofy on TV and she'd laugh, because she knew it would have made Bobby laugh. One time Mark sat in the stands during gym watching the guys play basketball, and it made him think of how great Bobby was at the game. And that's when it happened. The ring twitched. At first, Mark didn't know what it was, but when he looked down, he saw the familiar glow coming from the stone. Mark nearly wet his pants with excitement. He ran out of the stands and right through the game. It didn't matter to him that he totally disrupted play and was getting yelled at by every guy on the court. He had to get out of there fast, and he had to find Courtney. He found her in the girls' gym next door. She was taking a class on combatives and was in the middle of a judo match. With very little effort, she picked up her opponent and threw her on her back with a loud, sickening thud. Then just as she was helping her victim to her feet, Mark ran into the gym and yelled, "Courtney!" Everyone turned to look at the mad dweeb. Courtney locked eyes with him and instantly knew the deal. She quickly bowed to her opponent and ran to Mark. They didn't have to say a word. They knew what to do. The two of them headed right for Mark's fortress of solitude, the boys' bathroom on the third floor. Courtney wasn't shy. She barged in ahead of Mark. No sooner did they get inside than Mark took off the ring and put it on the ground. The ring twitched, the crystal lights flashed, and the familiar process began. The little ring grew larger, and with a final blinding flash, it was over. On the floor was a roll of paper, but this one looked different than the others. It was a light green color, rather than the yellowed pages they were used to. There was a tie around the roll, but rather than a piece of brown leather, this looked like some kind of dark, green, plant-like material. Mark pulled it off and carefully unrolled the pages. They were roughly the same size as the others, but these were oddly shaped. There were no squared edges. Mark felt the texture. They didn't appear to be paper at all. These pages were some sort of large, dried leaves, that were sort of rubbery and waterproof.
"You ready?"
asked Courtney.
"My hands are shaking," replied Mark.
Then the two of them looked at Bobby's newest journal. To be continued. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Pendragon, Book 1, The Merchant of Death, by D.J. McHale. Copyright 2002 by D.J. McHale. Read by William Dufries. And performance copyright 2005 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brilliancedaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.